among the many mysteries that baffle the minds of mankind, this morning we look at yet another mystery. Mystery that is the mystery of supply. It is the mystery of sufficiency. It is the mystery of increase. And we know a mystery to be that which is difficult or impossible to understand, explain, or identify. That which is difficult or impossible to understand, explain, or identify. And we're talking about a mysterious increase. When I think about increase, I think about that which becomes or is made greater in amount, size, or degree. It is increase. It is to become or to make greater in amount, size, or degree. It is an increase. What are you aiming at? Well, the aim of our sermon this morning, purpose of the message, is for us to position ourselves to be prosperous. That's what I would have achieved. That's the purpose of the sermon, is for us to position ourselves to be prosperous. Amen. And here this morning, as we look at this, what we find out simply is that this miracle is a miracle that was unexpected, it was unexplained, and it was unexhausted. The disciples didn't expect this miracle. It kind of slipped up on them. They had been preaching and teaching, and they came back and told Jesus. And the Bible tells us in verse 32, they got into a ship and they tried to get away from the people, because Jesus had told them in verse number 31, come ye apart and rest a while. That's what we've been doing during this vacation season, during this period when school is out. We've come apart and rest a while. Charles Swindoll says, I believe he says, that if you don't come apart, you will come apart. It's interesting to know that Jesus wanted them to have some leisure. So he sought to escape from the crowd, and they got into a ship, and they tried to get away from the crowd, but the Bible tells us that somebody spotted them in verse 33. Right. Amen. The people spotted, and Jesus, in verse 34, he says, although they were tired, although they had been working, Jesus says that I have compassion on the people. And the Bible says because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he knew that if you had sheep without a shepherd, that was not good. But the interesting thing to me is that Jesus, the Bible tells us, was moved with compassion in verse 34. It's one thing for somebody to have pity on you, feel sorry for you. But it's another thing to do something about it. It didn't say that he just had compassion, but it says he was moved with compassion. He moved from feeling sorry to taking action. And that's the kind of a God that we serve. He was moved with compassion. And he says, the disciples came to him in verse 35 and said, Master, the day is far spent. Send the people away. Verse 36. Amen. Too often the church wants to get rid of the folk that need help. Amen. Amen. Jesus was tired. The disciples were tired. But Jesus saw it important to help them, although he was exhausted and depleted in strength. But Jesus made an interesting statement. He says, disciples said, send them away. And then he said, send them to one of the villages so that they might be able to have something to eat. Jesus made an amazing statement, church. We don't like the amazing parts of the Bible. We like that simple part. What if I told you in verse 37, you give them something to eat? Amen. See, y'all. See, I already done felt it. I done felt the vibes coming back at me. See, it sounds like an impossible demand. You give them something to eat. That's what Jesus said. You feed them. Amen. And they said, well, it would take 200 penny worth of bread to give them to eat. Shall we go and buy, you know, that's a whole year's wages. Amen. To really feed these people. Shall we go buy 200 penny worth of bread to feed them? And Jesus, they did not expect Jesus to expect them to do anything. But Jesus says, it's interesting what Jesus does, and we're going to be dealing with this. This is where the Lord had led me to, and I'm comfortable just in that alone. I follow the way he guided me. I wanted to continue. I can't seem to finish. Anyway, let me move on. But he says that he asked them, he says, how many loaves have ye? In verse 38. In other words, what he's telling them is, what do you have? They said, well, we got five. We got five, verse 38. And we got two fishes. We got five loaves of bread. And these breads, these are more like bonds, because we know from other gospels, that from the Gospel of John, that this was a lad's lunch. So this was a small, like a biscuit, just enough to put some food. Amen. Five biscuits, not one of those, amen, colonial loaves. Amen. This here was just a loaf, just a small Some people call it back in the day a hoe cake. Amen. I don't know if anybody from the hoe cake community, but he says, amen. Okay. Amen. That made me think about them hoe cakes. Amen. You just make that hoe cakes and that mustard greens. Amen. Amen. Good eating, they call it. But he says, all we got is five biscuits and two fish. We got two. And you got all these people, and that's what you got. And Jesus says, it's interesting to me that Jesus did that because he didn't need anything to feed them. Amen. Even the devil told us that Jesus could just turn the stone into bread and be through with the whole thing. Oh, we're going to have to get to that. But God made a demand on them in this to meet their deliverance. And he says that he commanded them, he brought order to the crowd and organization. He says he commanded them to sit down by companies upon the green grass. In verse 39, and they sat down in ranks or by rows, 150, just like the ushers have rows of members. You can go down each row. They were sitting there in rows and in rank, and he told them to sit down. And he says, and when he had taken the five loaves and two fish, he looked up, he blessed and brake and the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them, and the two fish and divided he among them all, and they all did eat and were filled. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Now, Jesus had told them to do it. He didn't have to be the one to do it. You think Jesus would ask you to do something you couldn't do? We're not going to talk about that, but I just thought I'd throw that in. I didn't plan to say that. I didn't know what I was going to say, actually. But to tell you the truth, let's go back. He says that this was unexpected. But what I want to see is that the miracle itself was unexplained. And we see that it was unexhausted. Because, and they took up 12 baskets full of, they didn't even eat it all. And of the fish. And they did all with the loaves were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And so what we see here is that this miracle is something that is unexpected. It was unexplained. It was unexhausted. Couldn't explain it. Well, when we think about it, we have to look at this to see. It's amazing to me when you think about explaining this miracle that no one explained it, how it really happened. Nobody went into details as to how it really occurred. And the thing that's so strange is this is an important miracle in the Bible. It is the only miracle that is recorded by all four Gospels. It is the only one. So there were ample opportunity to throw in as to the details. But there were no details given as to really how Jesus did this. It says that he took it, and then there was the blessing, and then there was the breaking and the distribution. And it didn't exactly say how this happened, and it didn't say, and this is interesting because all four writers had an opportunity to throw in something, to go a little bit more into detail as to how this really occurred. Amen. Two fish and five loaves, and you're going to feed these many people. And you say he blessed and he, yeah. What made the multiplication? Amen. There was a mysterious increase. Amen. When you think about a mystery is something that you really, amen, something that you can't explain. Amen. It's difficult or it is impossible to understand, explain, or identify. You can't really see where it came from, but it happened, and he told them to do it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And I was amazed by this. And the thing about it is that this miracle was a miracle that no one went into details. Now, they went into details about other things. They went into, they took the time to go into the details about Jesus telling them to sit down in order. He gave us that. Somebody took the time to count the folk to know how many people were there. That was some good administration. They were paying attention to other details. We find out from Gospel of John that it was a young boy's lunch, a lad's lunch, and we find out who went to find him. We find out that Thomas and Philip and Andrew all got together, and they were doing this in the background. They explained a lot of other stuff. Why wouldn't they go into details so that we will know how this really happened? Amen. I mean, how did it happen? It's unexplained. Did they, and I may not finish this, but he said, did it swell in Jesus' hand as to the multiplication? Did it just miraculously reappear? Or how did this happen? Where did the food, two fish and five honey buns? How did you? Amen. I don't want to. I see Jesus. I better back that up. Amen. Why? Where did he? But he fed everybody, and they had some left over. And ain't nobody said nothing about exactly how it took place. Now, as we look closer, we begin to find out that the process that he went through was, he had them to sit down in verse 40, and when they had taken the five loaves and two fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the fish he divided among them all. So the miracle took place between, they already had the food given to them before he went to the congregation. Jesus didn't just take the food and go give it to the congregation. He gave it to his disciples and let them give it to the congregation. But where did the miracle really take place? We know it didn't take place with the disciples in the congregation. The disciples didn't do the miracle because they were wondering how it was going to be done in the first place. What you find out basically as you study this is the multiplication took place in Jesus' hands. Jesus kept giving it to them. As Jesus gave it to them, they got it, but it happened in the hands of Jesus. And it is a continual thing. As he broke it, it was coming back into his hand continually as he gave it away. And Jesus had told them to do the same thing. And if I were to tell you to do that, you would think you couldn't do it. But we want to deal with that. Amen. we're going to give it that later, but I believe. But here's what we must understand is that Jesus took the food. And the Bible says, you must understand that Jesus blessed God, not the food. You see, the word bless there means, really, we get our word eulogy from it. Yes. It means to speak well of. Blessed, amen. It means to speak well of, and so you could be translated thanks, to give thanks. It can be translated to give thanks. And in other writings of these gospels, you find out that he used the word thanks. Amen. He used the word thanks in other places in the Bible. In Mark 8:6, he used the word, he gave thanks and break it. And but when you bless food, you really are supposed to be, whether it has a dual application is another subject left up to those who are debating theologians. But in this context, Jesus looked up. He did not look down, did he? And he blessed God. Or he thanked God for what he was about to do. He thanked God for being able to take care of this issue, and that's what really brought the blessing in. I guess what I'm saying is, when you learn to be thankful over a little, I think about a lot of people aren't blessed, and I don't want to get ahead of the sermon because of the fact, and God just gave me this, I didn't, we complain about what we have, but it's how you treat what you have that determines what else you can get. It's when I thank God and show some appreciation for what I do have, what little I do have. You see, if you cannot be thankful or appreciative of a little, God won't give you a lot. You may have a little choir, but how are you acting in the little choir? I wish I had a witness. How you treating that group? If you treat little things, you may have a little church, but how you acting as a little church? Is how you treat a little that determines if you will get a lot. The test is with the little. And what happens here simply is that what God is saying is that he often always start off with just a little. Now, like I said, he could have did the miracle without the fish or the loaves. Couldn't he? Didn't need neither one. But it's those little opportunities we have. What God is concerned about is how we treat our opportunities. And if you appreciate a little, then it will grow. Amen. I think I'm going to answer this. The truth of the matter is that when you treat a little bit right, what does that do? That improves the quality of it. And somebody said quality breeds quantity. Did you know that a lot of things are stunted because the quality is bad? If you got good quality, it's going to pay its own bill. Amen. People will go back and get it. They may pay a whole lot for it, but they'll go back and get the same. Why you pay so much expensive? Because it's good quality. Quality pays its own bills. And when you are appreciative, and you thank God for what you already have. See, most folk waiting to do right when they get something else. We're going to act right when we get this. We're going to act right when we get that. He said, no. If you are faithful over a few things. That is only after then will you be, amen. Jesus took the bread and he thanked God, turned his head away from the bread. He thanked God. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't bless your food. Amen. Thank God for your food. But actually, exegetically, if you interpret it correctly, what you really should be doing is thanking God for the food. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The truth of the matter is, when you think about 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he says, you can eat what you want to. In verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, if you eat it with thanksgiving, all things are to receive, not with blessing, but with thanksgiving. I can thank God. 1 Timothy 4, 3 talks about different types of a thing that was previously ceremonially unclean, but because Jesus' blood has washed away our sins, you can thank God that it does not matter whether it's clean or unclean. It has nothing to do with salvation. Well, y'all ain't got tired of this part. The truth of the matter is that he looked up. I'm here to tell you this morning that it is not explained. But I want to tell you, as I digress from this sermon, for you to recognize that Jesus will bless you when you start appreciating what little you have, treating what he already gave you right. Whatever it is, appreciate that. Appreciate that house, that car, that suit, that job, that. Because quality will carry its own weight. Quality carries its own weight. And you won't have anything of quality that won't grow. Jesus handled it with such quality. How do you treat your job? How do you treat your home? How do you treat your church? Don't allow the word volunteer to rob you of quality. Don't let the devil slip that in on you. That quality, that volunteer don't mean good quality. Amen. Don't buy into that.